Hey, Happy Friday. This week, OnePlus really does seem to be killing its entire business outside of China. ARM made its first ever CPU itself, and the US has decided to essentially ban imports of all foreign-made Wi-Fi routers. That's pretty wild. Welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video was sponsored by Insta360. Okay, for my first story of the week, OnePlus really does seem to be shutting down its operations outside of China for the most part. Two new sources have confirmed the rumor, including one from 9to5 Google and another one from a leaker called Yogesh Brar, who has since deleted his tweet about it. Still, this follows as Robin Liu, the CEO of OnePlus India and probably the most recognizable person from OnePlus abroad, quit his position, and earlier rumors from Android Headlines also claimed that a shutdown was imminent. OnePlus did kind of like half decline the first report from Android Headlines, but we now have two other sources, so that brings us to three, and there's also the quitting of Robin Liu. I think that's too much stuff to ignore. The rumors specifically say that OnePlus is, quote, shifting their focus to the entry and mid-range market in India, while they will also cease operations in certain regions, including vast portions of Europe, potentially as soon as April 2026. In other words, they're either completely shutting down or dramatically scaling back from what they had, depending on the market, and that's coming from a OnePlus that had already been fading into the shadow of its parent brand, Oppo. Now, there might still be a few mid-range or entry-level models here and there, and they'll probably honor their software support promises, but there are not going to be any exciting devices coming out probably outside of China for OnePlus at all, and that's kind of a shame. Okay, for my second story of the week, ARM has just made its first ever CPU themselves. And not just the architecture, which they then licensed to some firm like Qualcomm or MediaTek, but instead their own ARM-branded CPU that they will start selling to consumers directly. It's called the ARM AGI CPU, because of course it is, and it has up to 136 of the firm's new Neoverse V3 cores. Disappointingly, this is obviously a server chip specifically designed to run AI workloads, and there it should compete directly against the likes of Intel's Xeon chips. ARM's big claim to fame is, of course, power efficiency, and what's interesting is that they launched with Meta being their first customer. That is interesting because Meta is not only a very real, very large customer, but also because it's one of the few firms that are still going full throttle on their server build-out, while others are starting to pull back a little. Now, typically, when there's firms like Qualcomm who license their architecture from someone like ARM, they get very unhappy when that firm then decides to compete with them directly, so I think there's going to be quite a lot of clashing here, but let's see how this goes. Okay, and for my third story of the week, the United States FCC has banned the import of new foreign-made internet routers in the US. Which, if you're wondering, is essentially all Wi-Fi routers, including the American brands like Ubiquiti, because no one's essentially making any large quantities in the US, with the one exception being Starlink, which does make you think. The FCC put routers produced in a foreign country on what is called the covered list, and this is the same list that was used to ban uncrewed aircraft systems, aka drones from abroad, as well as cybersecurity software from Kaspersky Lab, security cameras from Hikvision, as well as telecom equipment from Huawei and ZTE. Now, just like with Jones, there are two major exceptions here. First, this ban is only for new Wi-Fi routers that haven't been sold in the US yet, so anything that is already on the market can continue being sold and used. And second is that the United States Department of War can grant conditional approval for certain products like they've done with the four different drone models last week. Now, overall, I do think that networking equipment is a pretty major security concern, so pushing to onshore that eventually is not a bad idea inherently, but doing it so abruptly, especially when the country makes none of it themselves, well, that's a choice. Okay, and then moving on to our release monitor, we start with a product that is already banned from the US due to the aforementioned covered list. This is the DJI Avata 360, the firm's first 360-degree drone, which is a simpler, more budget-focused competitor to the Anti-Gravity A1 from Insta360. DJI's goggles do not feature a screen from the outside like the Anti-Gravity ones do, and you can also actually use the drone without a goggle, just by using a regular controller, which also brings its starting price a lot lower as well, to around 700 euros. Nice. Next, Samsung has also released the Galaxy A57 and A37 this week, which are their upgraded mid-range models. They got more powerful Exynos chips plus better cameras, though Samsung did also drop the starting storage from 256 to 128 gigabytes again, which is truly a sign of our crazy times. And last in our release monitor is the new $300 Sonos Play. It's focused on portability and does both Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. Cool. And then moving on to our brief, we start with kind of the opposite of a new release. Sony and Honda have killed off the Afila car brand before they ever launched their first model. This comes after Honda also axed their other EV plans, radically scaling back on future development. Ouch. Next, Samsung became the latest Android brand to make Apple's AirDrop compatible with QuickShare on their phones. You have to go into settings to enable it, and it's only available on the Galaxy S26 series so far, but it is coming to other models later. So it was the Google Pixel series first, now Samsung Galaxy S26 series. Oppo has already said that it's coming to their phones soon too, so this is gonna become pretty universal very soon. Then, in more Samsung news, the firm has also announced Quantum Black, a new film that they managed to apply on top of Quantum Dot OLED displays. They claim that this film reduces light reflectance by 20%, which should eliminate the sort of purple-gray reflection on black surfaces, which was one of the main shortcomings of QD OLED. The film is apparently coming as standard on QD OLED panels that are shipping in 2026, so that's pretty nice. And talking of Samsung, OnLeaks and Android Headlines also leaked renders of what the Galaxy Fold Wide will look like. This should compete against the iPhone Fold form factor, which looks short and wide. I am kind of intrigued. The main problems that I've always had with this kind of wide form factor is that 1. Not every app supports landscape mode, which gets awkward on them, and 2. The keyboard takes up a huge part of the screen when it spans such a wide display, and I really wonder how Apple and Samsung plan to solve these. Then, in good news, while fossil fuel prices are going through the roof, Amber also put out a new report showing that the world quietly added another record amount of solar and wind last year again. Just this year's new additions are expected to generate 15% of the global electricity generation from natural gas. Amber estimates that globally, we've saved $40 billion just since the war against Iran was started, just from the installations that we've done last year. Pretty crazy. Then, in kind of monumental news, Meta and Google lost 2 lawsuits which accused them of designing their products to be addictive to kids and also failing to warn their users. In California, they were forced to pay $4.2 and $1.8 million to a single plaintiff, while in New Mexico, Meta was ordered to pay $375 million as a general punishment. They're probably going to appeal this, but these are setting some serious precedents and many more trials are coming later this year. If these verdicts are upheld, then this could be kind of the tobacco moment of the social media industry, because it would mean that the legal system would actually hold them accountable for the harms that their products generate, which would be a pretty big deal. But of course, they could also just kind of lobby Trump to get them off the hook. I mean, Trump loves to pardon people that bribe him, so that could happen as well. Meanwhile, also a pretty huge deal is that OpenAI has shut down its Sora video generating AI model, and that, among others, this has startled Disney, who didn't see the move coming. OpenAI apparently wants to shift their focus to coding tools, corporate clients, and AGI, while the $1 billion deal that they made with Disney got unceremoniously ended before any money actually exchanged hands. A lot of people are looking at this as a sign of the AI bubble in general starting to burst, and while that is theoretically possible, I mean, this is definitely not a good sign, I also think it might just be that OpenAI themselves have messed up and they're just walking back from a bad project, so let's wait and see. Anyway, moving on to something that is actually really cool, scientists at Switzerland's famous CERN Institute pulled off what the Scientific American called, quote, the coolest road stunt a scientist can do. They managed to take 92 subatomic antimatter particles out of a lab and transported them on a truck for about an hour and a half without annihilating them. The roughly 1-ton construction that they built to do this contains a magnetic field that spins the antiparticles in a circle in a cryogenically cooled ultra-high vacuum. To which I say, science! Woo! And talking of science, a Microsoft-backed firm called Lace Lithography just raised $40 million. You know how current high-end lithography machines from the likes of ASML use light beams with wavelengths of just 13.5 nanometers to do the job? Well, the Norwegian company Lace wants to replace that with a helium atom beam that is just 0.1 nanometer wide, which in turn is about the width of a single hydrogen atom. If their tech actually ends up working, they claim that they'll be able to print features that are 1/10 of what an ASML machine can do right now. Wowzers. Just big wow. Big science words. Let's see if it works. Meanwhile, what we know does work is that this week, the big spring sale started for the most creative camera that I know, the Insta360 X5. It's obviously a 360-degree camera originally designed for action footage, but Insta360 has also pushed many updates and built many cool accessories to turn it into much more than that as well. Together with the unique perspective that you can only get from a 360 camera, these have allowed me to capture many of my favorite shots. Whether it's swimming in the sea, filming a car that I'm driving in from above, filming myself while vlogging, or using the camera as a sort of de facto drone, getting a flyover shot and allowing me to squeeze into tight places and looking around inside in a way that no other camera could. Now, my personal favorite accessory is this. It's the classic 3-meter carbon fiber selfie stick. It's just ridiculously long and skinny, which allows you to get into places that are simply physically off-limits with other cameras, and it's also how I got these types of shots where I go above or into or through various objects. This is an absolute must-have in my opinion. My second favorite is this throw pod. It opens in one tap on the base to become a stable monopod. That then extends to take your camera to about chest height, and then you also have this little remote button built in, which you can take out so that you can film yourself easily with the camera as it follows you around if you want. It's great for filming yourself without a camera person. Third is this really clever free-framing selfie stick, which turns the X5 into kind of a gimbal camera. It has the same buttons and controls that those phone gimbals would have, but instead of moving your phone around with a motor, it just uses the 360-degree image to keep whatever you want in frame. It works remarkably well, you can completely control it with the buttons, and it's just really cool. And fourth, the photo grip turns your X5 into, you've guessed it, a photo camera. This is especially good for emulating something like the ultra-wide Hasselblad X-Pan look. Whatever shooting style you choose, the 8K image quality gives you enough resolution to crop and reframe however you want, and Insta360 also has the most robust editing tools both on your phone and on your computer that range from AI auto-selecting everything for you, or on the other extreme, you can get fine-grained control if you prefer to tweak things manually. Meanwhile, my favorite innovation of this generation is that you can now not only add extra lens guards, but even if you crack the main lenses themselves, you can now replace those too, all by yourself. Amazingly, the first 10 people who use my link in the description get a replacement kit for self-repair for free, plus also something like $100 off depending on your region, and also 6 months of free 1TB cloud storage. That's a special deal that I got from my subscribers that's extra good to the spring sale going on right now, so be sure to check my link in the description. Keep in mind that the exact discount might vary on the region, and I'll see you next Friday.